It's Luke 22:19. It's one verse. And as you hear this verse, hear what was just sung. You can have this world. Give me Jesus. Yes. Give me Jesus. Yes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Give me Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. A few weeks ago, on World Communion Sunday, something occurred to me as I was watching Virgilio break the bread, blessing in his Mayan tongue, Quiche. It came right next to me, the moment your pastor, who's doing everything he can to honor and affirm people, to make a room big enough for the fullness of people to enter and to rest and to worship. That's what I'm working on. That's what we're working on. I was watching Virgilio in Quiche and Sergio in Spanish and Virgilio in Quiche. And it became utterly clear what a beautiful and terrible moment this was. The beauty is plain. The table was adorned superbly. I mean, it was beautiful. Breads from all across the world. Here were two of the most wonderful and gentle people I have ever met. Sergio, the artist personified, and blessing in Spanish. Virgilio, if you've not met him, might be the sweetest, most soft-spoken man you ever meet. You have to get in real close to hear him. A man who had to leave Guatemala, here's the ugly part, only to go back and witness the remnants of a village that was destroyed by the very people who taught his people communion. Yes, there is a world of pre-Christianity. Did you know that? Did you know that there was a world before Jesus? Could you imagine? And in this moment, a man from pre-Christian Mayan origin, having pre-Christian ancestors like all of us, giving communion. Communion was symbolic both of the violence done against his people and their ability, his ability as a people to take ownership and liberate this sacrament from the hands of its abusers. To take the sacrament and give it back to Christ, where he breaks the bread and says, "This is my body. Take it. Eat." The idea of paying attention to who is doing communion is new altogether, isn't it? It is. The idea of a priest is one who is invisible, right? The black robe, what that represents is the cloak of anonymity, right? You aren't supposed to care who it is doing this, right? The personhood of the one holding the bread and the cup is wholly unimportant in tradition compared to the bread that they're holding, what is inside the cup, which is itself a symbol of something more important. It occurred to me how muddy all symbols are when we pay attention not only to what the symbol points to, but look at the symbol itself. When you look at Sergio and you look at Virgilio, when you look at your pastor, not as the deliverer of God's word, but as a person, something we don't do enough in our churches. In other words, symbols are rarely as important as what they signify. That's what we're taught. What's important is not who's doing it, but what it points to. But what if they were just as important? The gift of this month, if we take it seriously, of Latinx awareness, is that we pretty quickly realize that there are other ways of practicing faith. Pre-Christian ways of practicing and singing and dancing that deepen our faith and actually make Christianity better, richer. And what we know is that better is better. There are ways that we can learn that will wake us up and that will bring us closer to God that we have not been taught, but that others in another part of the world are doing normally and naturally every single day. And today in particular, there's one way of thinking that is so abstract to our way of thinking, and yet it's so right that I'm hoping that it will not only be the focus of a sermon or the focus of our worship today, but that this week, and you know what? Go ahead and start doing this thing from now on. It's about the body. So I looked at times in the Bible when the body is mentioned. I did it for you. You can check my research when you get home. I won't name them all, but quickly, our body is a temple. 1 Corinthians. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians. Our body is a living sacrifice. Romans. Physical training is of some value, but godliness is above all things. 1 Timothy. Notice how in the earliest conceptions of the body that we call Christian, and I mean after Jesus now, the body is described as a symbol. It's a symbol to something better. Notice with your listening ears and your thinking minds as you read the New Testament after Jesus, how the body is described as something different from our godliness, something that is in the way of our godliness. Notice, church, how righteousness is described as the removal of old things. I am a new creation. The old is gone, passed away. Notice how it is interpreted as the removal of ethnicity. In Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek. That's not what that scripture means, but how it is interpreted as the removal of ethnicity, of personhood altogether, that the higher way of leaving one's body as an act of faith, we abandon our bodies. Notice, family, that the ultimate act of Jesus' life is described as the death of his body. The great removal from, because the soul 3 days later is more important than the body. The dissection of the body is one of the central issues in Latin American theology, which rose not alongside the Christian West like Spanish theology, but in response to the Christian West, in response to the Christian removal of personhood, in response to the ideology of the conqueror or the definitions of evil that attached evil to freedom and our bodies. Yvonne Gabara was offering a response to this, reminding us that it was men from Europe that defined evil. And then define purity and righteousness as removal and what that meant for the yet unconquered Western world. Now you're making the connection. During the first generation of the conquest, Gabara says, there was a great deal of religious violence and the indigenous religious culture was destroyed in the name of the purity and truth of Christianity. Bodies destroyed in the name of purity and truth. We might never know what the Mayans blessed before the bread and the cup, because to them, it wasn't genocide. These people were being saved, and to be saved, they had to be cleansed. As Jesus was being praised for giving up his body, Gabara and others were writing that we must find solidarity not only in the cross, but beyond the cross. Writing about the dangers of a spirit that has no face, because this is what allowed for the erasure of entire peoples in the name of God. Maria Pilar Aquino tells the story of Bartolome de las Casas, who was a 16th century Spanish historian and sent over to document the colonizing process as it was happening in the global south. He tells a story that changes his life. This simple historian, he says, the grim Spaniards went about with fierce dogs, hunting Indian men and women, his words, seeing she couldn't get away. And to prevent them from tearing her to pieces as they were doing others, a sick Indian woman took a rope and tied her one-year-old child to her foot and hung herself. What she thought was just high enough that the dogs and people could not reach the child, so they would leave and somebody else would cut down the child and save the child later. But it wasn't high enough. No sooner had she done this than the dogs arrived and tore the child to pieces. But before he died, a friar came and baptized him. Aquino, quick to notice, as you have, beyond the infinite sadness of such a moment, that the friar baptized the child but didn't stop the dogs. Because the child's soul was more important than the child's body. Because the body was just a container for the spirit. This is how so much violence becomes possible, church. Because the body is just a thing. This is how mestizos, mixed people, or Creole people with French last names becomes a thing. Because this has nothing to do with your body. Our relationship has nothing to do with your body. The myth that the bodies of women belong to their husbands. When we abide in the separation of body and soul, it becomes fertile ground for all manner of evil. For cultural genocide. For criminal injustice. Put those bodies in jail to purify them. For violence against women and Latin American theology, what Ada Maria Isasi Diaz calls mujerista theology, is tied to the liberation of women because oppression always falls on women the hardest. They have been named the problem, sometimes the reason, have borne the worst marks of colonization, yet are fetishized for their, your ability to have children. Hated and yet fetishized. Isasi Diaz, Aquino, Gabarro, many others have been calling this out. They've been calling us out. When our bodies are extracted from our faith, or we practice in a way that excludes our bodies, we practice our faith incompletely. We cannot participate in a faith that does not take the body seriously, because to not take the body seriously and to exclude it will soon mean to introduce violence against bodies. It's how millions of people can vote for a candidate of extremist ideas and extremist policies despite the person behind those things, because forget what he does, it's what he represents they want to get behind to separate the body from the idea. No. No, church. No, church. No more. For us, the task is to have an embodied faith. Say embodied. Embodied. A faith that's in our bodies and includes our bodies. For Aquino, sexual violence is possible when we treat the sexuality of others as body only. But for her, and in Latin American theology, one's sexuality cannot be considered or separated apart from one's personhood. Anything less is pornographic. And for Isasi Diaz, the project of mujerista theology is the rejection of objectivity. Notice how different that is, though. Notice how different that is from our socialization of sexuality as body only. And therefore evil. I'm moving fast here, y'all. I know I'm moving fast, but I think you're with me. We have to learn much from our theologians in Central and South America, the body being used as an act of resistance to a world that would deny their bodies altogether. The capoeira dance style in Brazil, it just looks like breakdancing to most of us. Until you look at it, until you know the history of it, of African peoples in Brazil, the capoeira dance style is really a martial art that is used as an act of resistance. The body used to resist, the body taken seriously, the woman taken seriously in an act of liberation. I know how hard this is. This has not been an easy thing for many people in this room to hear. I come from a black church tradition where men preach justice and won't even let women preach. I know how hard this is. Many folks come from conservative evangelical traditions that won't even recognize the presence of women in leadership. I know how hard this is. Many of you come from traditions where God was glorified and racism was ignored. But now you see the issue. Oh, now it's clear. Many Christians can ignore the oppression of people because they see them as souls and not people. We must change this. And we have an entire way of being in the Global South that is here to help us. Thank God for the folks who are changing our tradition. Many of us have a way of thinking about God and our faith that disembodies us. It tears us apart, our soul from our body, and focuses on fixing our soul and abandoning our body. As Gabara says, the body takes on so much of the evil, yet the elimination of evil is seen as a spiritual practice, not a body practice. We must take back our bodies. We must take back our bodies. We must take back our bodies. Our bodies are crying for life, says Sister Aquino, in the streets of Chicago, in the streets of Guatemala and Brazil. Our bodies are crying for life and for justice. We've segregated ourselves because we've been taught that our bodies are bad. Get away from them. We've been taught that the bodies that don't look like your body is bad. Get away from them. Do whatever you want to them. Colored bodies and women's bodies have been told that they are the furthest bodies from God. Go read 1 Timothy chapter 2 if you want to read some stuff. Go read that on your own. I'm not even going to stop and get you hyped up right now. I'm not trying to destroy the integrity of the Bible when I say go read 1 Timothy chapter 2, but understand that Christianity is politics, and if God is still speaking, we must not put a period at the end of what is said in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Something is happening post-Jesus. Something is happening post-Jesus, so that we need to go back to before Jesus and to even look at what Jesus himself says, because he, like Isasi Diaz, like Gabara, like Aquino, like Augusto Boal, like Gutierrez, can put us back together again. Jesus says, take my body and eat. The separation of the body and the soul is a theology that comes after Jesus but is rejected by Jesus. Catch it. Take my body. This bread is my body. He can give them, it's Jesus, y'all. He can give them an infinitude of ways of remembering him and things to do. He can even say, remember me. He doesn't have to involve his body at all. But no, in departing and in thinking of a way to make himself real in the hearts of his disciples, he invokes his body. This bread is my body. Take it. Eat. He invites the disciples not only in giving his body, but he invites us to remember his body by taking him into our bodies. This cup is the blood of the covenant. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this. There is no faith in Jesus that does not involve our bodies, church. There is no faith that can simply stop at the point of thoughts and prayers, but not risking and sacrificing and putting our bodies and our skin in the game. By his own words, we are to take this faith with our bodies. Now, that's more than words. That's setting our bodies as an object of our faith. I know how hard it is when we meditate on whatever is our medicine when we medicate, when we set off to go fix our souls by treating our bodies. Look how inherent the connection between body and soul is. Look how difficult it is. But if we are the body of Christ, we should start taking it not only as a symbol that we have the power of Christ accessible to us, or that we do the work of Christ, but that we have the power of God inside of our bodies, black bodies, women bodies, trans bodies, broken bodies, poor bodies, no bodies, that even still, God is still embodied there. This is my body. Take this. Eat. I will be with you to the end of the ages. Jesus is saying, I am near you right now, my child. And I am closer than you think. In body. We ought to take this and say more than Black Lives Matter. Because people stop at Black Lives Matter. The declaration is where the work is. No, we ought to ask. What? Say it with me, church. What? We are doing to black bodies. We ought to take this, all the men in the place, and ask, what? Say it with me, what? What we are doing to women's bodies? Do we honor them like our own bodies? Do we even honor our own bodies? Are we nonviolent simply because we don't hit someone? Or are we nonviolent because we do all we can to protect the bodies of every single one of God's children? The question of every person of privilege in this space, our task, our question, are we using our bodies to protect theirs? Because if not, then it won't matter how progressive we are. It won't matter how liberal we are. It won't matter how much we hate injustice or how much we pray, thy kingdom come, thy beloved community come. If our spirit is fired up and our bodies are silent, we aren't failing to stop the violence. We are participating in the violence. The next time you see a person, see a person, see a whole person. The next time you see a whole person, an imperfect person, a beautiful human, and decide today to never tear a person apart from their body again. Do that, church, and those that are colonized will say thank you. Those that were here before Christianity will say thank you, because Jesus was one of them. This is my body. In the silence, hear the mestizos and the mujeristas. Hear the Munduruku and the Garifuna, the abused and the disappeared, the tortured and the terrified. Hear them saying, and say it within yourself, this is my body. Amen.